Glad you're here. It wasn't but just over a week ago that half the world was celebrating Michael Costanzo's birthday. He happened to be born on the 25th of December. Well, I'm sort of perplexed this morning because I know the title of my sermon. I know where I want to end up. I'm just not sure where to begin. So I'll start with the title and we'll see where we'll end up. Or I know where we're going to end up. We'll see how we start off. So the title of the sermon is, Our God is a Terrible God. That might be shocking for some of us when we think about the word terrible, especially how it's used in our modern vernacular. And because the English language is so great of a language that there can be various meanings of any given word. And sometimes the meanings of those words can be, or at least appear to be, the very opposites. So it's a peculiarity of our language, of languages in general, that we can have a word that can have variable meanings in it. And that's why context is so important to understand the meaning of the word. So let's open the Bibles to Psalm in chapter 33. My initial intent was to try to teach Psalm 33. I was reading it the other day, just impressed by the key verse in that chapter. But I'm just going to use that as a launching point because I do want to make this, I do want to establish the fact that our God is indeed a terrible God. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And this is the key verse. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. I thought that might be the key verse as well. It goes very well with verse 8. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to open up the word of God. We are thankful that you are a merciful God. And you are a terrible God. And Lord, we rejoice in thee because you're great and mighty. You are our God. Bless us this day. Bless me as I try to impart your message. And I ask it in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I was to say God is a terrible God, as I mentioned earlier, you might be shocked. It sounds like something the wicked might say. God is a terrible God. And the wicked do say that God is a terrible God. If I was to say that our God is an awesome God, you might reflect and say, well, yeah, that's true. God is an awesome God. And you would be right. But when I say that God is a terrible God, I'm saying that very thing, that God is indeed an awesome God.
Amen.
So a few definitions are in order. Terrible means to excite terror, awe, or great fear. To be feared or reverenced. Awe-inspiring. Awesome. There's the synonym. And in the context that I'm using, not as we, as most jump to the conclusion, or as the wicked would say, or the heathen, extremely bad, horrible or distressing, exceedingly incompetent, of shockingly poor performance or quality. That would be the opinion of the heathen, those that are in defiance to God, those that rebel against God. They would say, yes, indeed, God is a terrible God. What kind of God would? And then they would follow several things that they would say. What kind of God? Then there would be some sort of accusation against God, and therefore some sort of justification of not believing in God, which is just foolishness. Because our God indeed is a terrible God. He's an awesome God. He is worthy of fear.
Amen.
And you ought to fear His name. But the accusation of the wicked abounds. Because people do not want to submit to God. And so they look for excuses not to believe in Him. And they become very foolish in their excuses. Have you ever heard it said, if there was a God, then where is justice? Well, let me ask you something. If there is not a God, where is justice? If there is no God, where is justice? But there is a God, and our God is a just God. Listen to what the prophet said. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, that there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me.
Amen.
Do you realize that we do indeed have a just God and there is justice?
Amen.
And the one thing that we have a hope of is that just God will bring justice upon this earth. And if you have a world view that foolishly exclaims that there is no God, or God is terrible and is incompetent or unworthy in that sense, then what is your answer to justice? Has justice been meted out upon Stalin and Hitler and those that have risen up in history and destroyed thousands? Where is the justice for them if there is no God? They died as my mother died. They died just as your mother will die. They have come to naught. And yet we believe in a God that is a God of justice. And there is a resurrection, both of the righteous and the unrighteous. And they all men will give an account one day. And although we may not face justice at a particular moment or at an expedient time in our lifetime, there will be justice at the end of the day because our God is just God. Abraham long ago said in his beseeching of the Lord, he said, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. There's the thought. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And if you've been in this any amount of time, you've heard the phrase mentioned over and over again. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Amen.
But what is it on the other side, the other view, that other world view, the law of the jungle? Where is the righteousness in the jungle? Yeah. The wicked say God is a terrible God. Where is justice, they cry. If God is good and God is just and God is righteous, why is there so much death? Well, it goes without saying, that's as if there's no death in the jungle. I mean, your worldview, you're not going to believe in God because there's death, so you're not going to believe in what? You see the problem. But God has told us why there is death. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In James in chapter 1, he says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation,
For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God tells us that death comes upon man because of sin. But thankfully, this God, our terrible God, our awesome God, our great God, is the God of the resurrection. Amen. And did you know, there's no resurrection without first being death. But in the world view that God is terrible, he's incompetent, he doesn't know what he's doing, there is no God in the world view, where is the resurrection? There is no resurrection. Our God is a terrible God. Our God is an awesome God. If there is a God, they claim, the heathen claim, and the wicked shout. If there is a God, why is there so much evil in the world? The Apostle Paul answered that question, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Maybe we ought to be pointing the finger to ourselves instead of our God. Amen. If there is a God, why is there war in the world? James said it this way, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Amen. And if we're under the law of the jungle, who are you going to pray to in your time of need? Amen. We pray to a terrible God, an awesome God, a God that can solve all the problems of the world. He is a terrible God. And I want to prove that this morning. Nehemiah said in his prayer, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. He recognized it. He recognized that God, our God is awesome. To be awesome to have awe is to have an overwhelming feeling of fear or reverence or admiration. Yes, our God is awesome. Yes, our God is terrible. Moses said it in Deuteronomy, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. Got a message the other day from a schoolmate who knows that I'm a believer in God, and she an unbeliever. She said, well, if you're a believer in God, which of the 8,000 gods do you believe in? I said, the one true God. And her argument was, if there were so many gods, then how could we know the which one is the right God? I answered her, listen, if you don't know which one is the right one, you ought to make it your life ambition to find out who he is. Amen. Or at least how the Athenians did, build an altar to that unknown God. Psalm 68, the psalmist said, I'm not sure if this was David or some other psalmist, he said, O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength, power unto his people. Blessed be God. Yeah, our God is worthy of fear. Yes, our God is awesome. Yes, our God does provoke us to fear. And we ought to fear him. Just look at here. I just want to go very quickly through Psalm 33. He starts off about rejoicing the Lord and why we ought to rejoice in the Lord, because our God is awesome.
Yes.
Amen.
Look at some of the things he says. The word of the Lord is right. All his works are done in truth.
Wow.
You're a lover of truth? All his works are done in truth.
Amen.
That's pretty awesome. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You're quick to find what you perceive as faults of the Lord. But are you quick to see? Do you recognize the goodness of the Lord?
Amen.
All the benefits of the Lord has given you. He allows the rain to fall upon the righteous and the unrighteous.
Amen.
He provides the birds of the air their food. He provides your food.
Amen.
He provides the very breath that you take. The fact that you're alive has to be attributed to God, because he's the giver of life. He's the author of life. He gathered the waters of the sea together. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. All the host of them. Have you stood out and looked at the stars? By the breath of God they were made. He's an awesome God. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Verse 9, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast.
Amen.
Could you and I weren't there, but we have a record of it in his holy writ. He spoke and boom, everything existed, came into existence. Have you ever been in awe? Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? You just, that first lookout point, and your breath is just taken away. You go up there to the Niagara Falls and you stand on the edge and you are literally right on the edge. They got a little fence right there. Many a person has fallen over that fence to their death. But you are right there, and that rushing water just going over the fall, and it just takes your breath away. And if you're like me, I don't stand near that fence. I stand about 2 meters. I take that COVID experience, 6 feet away, and then I just kind of look over and let somebody else. I don't get that close. Why? Because it's awesome. I don't know if you've ever stood on the Golden Gate Bridge or the Mackinac Bridge or some other bridge going over a great vast span of water. Have you ever looked at the great and mighty Mississippi? Wow. Have you ever stood on the sandy beaches of Hawaii and just looked out at the great Pacific Ocean and that water just coming in? Them wave after wave after wave. 24 hours, 7 days a week, every month, every year, just coming in. You know what? God spoke,
Amen.
And it was there. That's an awesome God. The host of them by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 119, it says in verse 161, princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. What a marvelous thing that God, that awesome God, has revealed himself unto man.
Amen.
Do you realize that the creator of the universe did not have to be just? But he is just. I'm talking in matter of probabilities. But we do have a God that is just and good. Awesome as he is.
Amen.
Terrible as he is. He is to be feared, yes. But there's mercy to be found with him.
Amen.
And that's why he says, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. For praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. We had a brother come in just the other day at one of our meetings. He asked me, why do you all play instruments? I said, well, because the psalmist told us over and over again, if when you praise the Lord, get out the instruments and play them. Praise is to his name. Moses said, he is thy praise and he is thy God. He had done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Have you seen the terrible things of the Lord? Well, I would encourage you to read the scriptures and see some of the terrible things that the Lord has done. Terrible, no matter what worldview you have, you're going to say, wow. Do you remember the flood? There was a flood, a worldwide flood that destroyed all the inhabitants of the world except for 8 who got on an ark. Yeah, that's pretty terrible, isn't it? Do you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? When God rained down fire and brimstone upon those fornicators? It makes you wonder why fire and brimstone hasn't fallen on America. Now, I don't personally watch TV as far as TV goes. I do watch movies, but I don't watch news, let's say. Yeah. But I was told, and I happen to work there, about a Wells Fargo commercial that promotes homosexuality. That you ought to bank at Wells Fargo because we support homosexuals. It makes me almost want to quit my job. Have you forgotten about Sodom and Gomorrah?
Right.
In 2 Peter in chapter 4, Peter the apostle writes, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved on the judgment," there's your justice, "and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." Do you realize that God has allowed in the history of man what mankind would say great tragedies, but God set forth it as an example that we might fear Him? That we might stand in awe of Him, terrible God, that awesome God. Do you remember all the plagues of Egypt? Do you remember what Moses wrote? He says, "In the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee." Why would you rebel against God? There's no use to rebel against God because you're not going to win. "Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them." Do you hear? Do you hear the pride of the wicked? "Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Did you hear the pride of the wicked? crying out against God's elect, and yet they were drowned in a sea. They sank as lead into the sea. Yeah, our God ought to be feared. Do you remember the fiery serpents that the Lord sent in? Do you remember the opening of the earth which swallowed Dathan and I don't remember his name. Abiram, thank you. Abiram? The question is, hath not the potter power over the clay? And of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Cannot the Creator of all the world do as He pleases?
Amen.
Some project that you've embarked on, some endeavor. Somebody just told me this morning they're going to be building a home. Isn't it up to you to build it as you desire? Who is to tell you how to build it? And yet you would tell the Creator how He ought to order His world or how He ought to behave? Thank God we have a righteous God, a loving God, a merciful God. He is to be feared for that very reason.
Amen.
But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou our potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. We ought to honor God as the Father. Who decides as a Father decides? And if you'll look at Psalm 130 and verse 3 and 4, if Thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee that Thou mayest be feared. I think the word is fatalism. If God was just this terrible God that inspires awe and fear in the heart of men, if there was no forgiveness of God, if there was no mercy of God, if there was no grace of God, men might become fatalists and just give up and do whatever you want. I'm going to jail anyway. I just might as well go ahead and what I do. But there is forgiveness with our God. And that is the hope we have, and that is why we ought to fear Him. He said it, and I'll repeat it. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. The problem we have in this generation and generations of mankind, go back to all the tragedies in the world and you'll find a generation of people that did not fear God. Our God is a terrible God. Micah the prophet said, "Who is a God like unto thee? That pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." What a God. What an awesome God. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth. And He is to be feared. And thank God there is mercy and grace with Him.
Amen.
He has the power to take your life this very day. He also has the power to grant you another day. Both are His grace. He has the right to cast you down in the depths of hell. And if you're not in hell this very day, it's the grace of God. Because all of us have sinned against God and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. There's mercy being offered to you by this great and terrible God. This awesome God. He offers it to you. It's only by His character, His loving character, this terrible God is a God of love. He's called love. He is truth and righteousness. And He's offering you, a sinner, a rebel, who defies God, who resists Him at every opportunity that you have. He's offering to you forgiveness and mercy. I would say, I would advise, I would counsel, take his side.
Amen.
Don't stand on the side of the enemies that raise their swords. We're going to destroy them. We're going to conquer them because they fell as lead into the sea. Our God is terrible. He is a terrible God. So much more reason for you to fear him. So much more reason for you to tremble before his presence and to fall onto your knees and say, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And thank God that awesome God of ours is merciful. I would encourage you to read Psalm 33 in the light of the message this morning. In the light of verse 8 where he said, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Yep. And amen. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are an awesome God. We thank you that you're a merciful God.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, with you there is forgiveness that we might be saved. And Lord, I pray this morning if there be a person in the sound of my voice that's not saved and has not tasted of your mercy and your grace and your kindness, oh God, that they might taste and see. They might come to Christ and believe on him. Oh God, may they break their rebellious heart. May they humble themselves before you, a terrible God. Have mercy upon them. Have mercy upon us. Lord, help us ever to remember that we ought to clap our hands and praise your holy name because you are indeed a terrible God, an awesome God. We ought to stand in awe of you because you are worthy. Have mercy upon us now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. We're going to come back and gather tonight around the Lord's Supper. Please come and may God have mercy upon each and every one of us.